The question today is, what is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer after salvation? This is part number 4. We've dealt with this before, and we've talked about the fact that He sets up a classroom and teaches you to lay aside some things, such as ungodliness and worldly lust, to teach you to live for the Lord by living soberly, righteously, and godly. He'll teach you to look for the Lord's coming back again in the rapture. And then also the Holy Spirit not only teaches you, but He comforts you, helps you to pray, comforts you in tribulation. And then also He produces fruit. And we talked about the fruit, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We divide this and classify this ninefold fruit into 3 categories. First of all, this character has an inward state, which is love, joy, and peace we dealt with. Also, there's a character in the expression towards man of long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. But the third set of the 3 ninefold fruit is that there's character in expression towards God. In other words, that's faith, meekness, and temperance. Now, faith here, it's not referring to saving faith, but to faithfulness and fidelity as produced in every believer by the Holy Spirit. This is called the perseverance of the saints. Matthew 24:24 says, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets." And it's talking about the last days when the Antichrist is upon this earth. "And he shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." It is not possible, though, for a saved man to be deceived. It's not possible for a saved man to live in a continuous state of deception, because he has the Holy Spirit who will guide him into all truth. He'll teach him. It's what we talked about. And so here even the Scripture said, if it were possible. It's not possible to be deceived. Somebody said, "Well, I used to be a Baptist, but I woke up with a little case going down the road." Well, I want to tell you, you've been deceived. You was a lost Baptist. You wasn't saved. You was ever saved, you'd never be carrying that little case down the road with the Watchtower magazines in it, because they deny the Lord Jesus and deny the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us today. If you've got fruit, you'll have faith. And it'll persevere. John 16:13 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come." Hebrews 3:6, he said, "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end?" Now, what that's saying is, let me just read Hebrews 3:14 and put these 2 verses together. "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." In other words, these 2 verses show that the saint of God, the saints of God, will continue firm and steadfast to the end. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to sin. That doesn't mean that they're going to be perfect and reach a state of perfection before they are raptured out. No, but they'll sin. They'll be wanting to ask forgiveness for that and get it right. They can't go to bed, not let the sun go down upon the wrath, is what it amounts to. So there's character in expression toward God of that faithfulness, and that's perseverance of the saint. And they'll stay firm to the end, steadfast to the end, if they're of the house of God, if they're partakers of Christ, which is, of course, the Holy Spirit setting up His workshop inside of producing fruit inside a person's heart. There will not only be faith, as far as His character and expression toward God, but there will be meekness. Now, this word meekness means to have a teachable spirit. Many who say they're saved don't have that teachable spirit. In fact, their attitude is, "My mind is made up. Don't confuse me with the truth." It's amazing how many people shy away and run from the truths of God's Word. Listen, truth won't hurt you. Truth will set you free. And you don't have to worry about that. In fact, the Bible said in Acts 17:11, and it's all right to question. That's why we have this Ask the Pastor broadcast. You write us and give us questions, and we'll try to deal with your question from time to time. Because it's, you're noble. In fact, he said in Acts 17:11, these and Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now, in Thessalonica, that was a church that had a work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope, a good church. But he said these in Berea were more noble. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They received what Paul said and preached to them, but they searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Look at the Scripture. Preacher, I've been taught all my life this, this, and this. Listen, no matter what you've been taught, if it doesn't agree with the book, We need to stay with the book. That's why I try to deal in this, ask the pastor with a Bible and quote a lot of scripture to you and let you know it's the Word of God. And said, you'll have a teachable spirit. That's a fruit of the Spirit, and it's character and expression toward God. The fact is of faith, meekness, and the third one in that is temperance. Now, temperance is self-control by the aid of the Holy Spirit. Some people think temperance means that I'm just not supposed to get drunk on wine and strong drink. Well, it's involved in that, but it's more than just dealing with strong drink. Matthew 7, verse number 15 through 18, and then verse 20 says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. In other words, it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, that what whereby you're known. It's not how many times you go to church. It's not how many people's doors you knocked on. It's not how you dress and how you are. But let me remind you that you will dress right, because he said the Holy Spirit will teach you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And so therefore, but that is not the fruit. The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Now, if you don't possess this fruit, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, the Bible says very plainly, you're none of His. And you need, you're not saved if you don't have the Holy Spirit. So you need to take Paul's advice to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 13:5, when he said, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate, disqualified for reward, and left out, lost and undone is what it amounts to. And so he said, examine your fruit. Examine yourself. Check out the fruit. And do you have the love, joy, peace, long-suffering? I know you can be deceived and think you do, but you know there's just that little nagging doubt inside whenever you're not saved. And you may try to work it up, but you're deceived. The heart's deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9 says, and desperately wicked, who can know it? You don't even know your own heart. But still, if you say you're saved, God said, look at the standard. Look what God said, by your fruit you're known. And that fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. What does the Holy Spirit do in the life of a believer after that he's saved? He teaches him. He comforts him. And he produces fruit in his life. But you know something else he does? He gives gifts. Now, there's a common thinking that when one is saved, he's given gifts by the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you, that's a false thinking. It's a false a theory, if you please. You don't receive gifts at the time of salvation. You've already had them. Gifts are present from the birth. You're born with those gifts. And those gifts need to be stirred by the Holy Spirit so that they can be used for the Lord's glory. So I want us to see some things about these gifts that He gives you, the Holy Spirit gives you. Well, He says He gives them to every man. And that didn't say just to save. He said to every man. 1 Corinthians 12:7. He said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And of course, you need to profit with all in that. 1 Corinthians 12:11, he also said, but all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In other words, he gives gifts to every man. Ephesians 4:7 said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, I know that some would say that's to the saints because he's writing to the saints at Ephesus. And that is true. He's talking to the saints. But folks, the scriptures claim that every man has been given gifts. God has gifted every man. And what he wants to do is to use those gifts for his glory. You realize something's not just to saints, but to lost men as well. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, do not our politicians have the gift of speaking and persuading men? Do not men of the world have gifts to build large, magnificent buildings? Where'd that come from? It come from God. A man can receive nothing except it's given him from God. So they were gifted from their youth and trained, and God gave them that ability to do that. Do not men of the world have gifts to build those big buildings? Do not men of the world have gifts to organize and to edify others? And on we could go. You see, we would have to say yes. Well, where did these gifts come from? You say, well, they were born with them. That's true. But Where did they come from? They come from God, the Holy Spirit, if you please. Paul said this about himself, as he said in Galatians 1:15, and he is an example. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. You see, the call was upon his life. He didn't know it until God called him on the road to Damascus and then later saved him 3 days later on the street called Straight. And then there's an example of Jeremiah, Old Testament example. Jeremiah 1:5. He said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation." So we look at these examples, in the Old Testament and New. And we have to say, my case rests. Gifts are given to every man at birth and are stirred up by the Holy Spirit to be used for the Lord's glory when a person is saved. Well, those gifts not only given to every man, but they're without repentance. The Bible said in Romans chapter 11, verse number 29, He said, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." Now that means that God will not change His mind no matter how men use their gifts. The gifts He bestows are immutable and unalterable. You cannot alter them. Even if a man disqualifies himself from the ministry by divorce and remarriage, that does not change the fact that he was gifted to preach. And we have men who are practicing that today, and because they had those gifts there from birth. Now, I know there's different kinds of gift. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And Paul used man's body as an illustration in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14 through 17. He said, "For the body is not one member, but many. If a foot shall say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" In other words, our members of our bodies are different, but it's given diversities. It represents diversities of gift. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 6, he said, For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." In other words, now, they're diverse, but it's according to grace, undeserved, yet equally honorable, because they're bestowed by the same Spirit, administered under the same Lord, and energized by the same God. These different kind of gifts are given according to a wise God who knows best. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, "But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." 1 Corinthians 12:18, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him." God's Holy Spirit gifts men from birth and uses it for God's glory when they're saved. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.